so much. All right. I have these. I'm going to give Brother Steve an opportunity to pass those out. Or who else is? Thank you, Brother Steve. So if you need it, if you need a handout, because we've got a lot of information to cover that you would like to study and take notes on. So if you just hold up your hand, Brother Steve will pass those out to you. I'm going to turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Just hold your hand up and they'll be able to give it to you. Because Jesus is coming soon. Everybody say, Jesus is coming soon. And so we got to be ready for him to return and ready for him to come. And so you have the scriptures referenced there. You can write notes in the different section there if you'd like. But we're going to take a little journey down eschatology. Now, next Sunday, we're going to be talking about rewards. Everybody say, don't miss next Sunday. Because I'm going to tell you what you're going to get when you get to heaven. A lot of people don't realize what there is to get. A lot of people don't know how many rewards are mentioned in the Bible. And Jesus said it even one this way. He said, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. God's not coming. The Lord's not coming to rob us. He's coming back to reward. Now, some people are going to get rewarded judgment. But some people are going to be rewarded access into his kingdom. Revelation 19, verse 1, it says, after these things I heard a loud voice in the great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belongs to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth and her fornication, with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again, they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God for all ye servants and those who fear him, both small and great. As I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters and of the sound of the mighty thundering saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, see that you do not do that. I'm of your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven open, and I behold a white horse, and he who sat on him was faithful and true, and righteous. In righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? And then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of those who sit on the throne and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beasts, the kings of the earth and their armies. This is the Antichrist. Gathering together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worketh signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded out of their mouth of him that sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Everybody say, thank God we have a glorious future in Christ. Now, I want to talk to you today about pictures of things to come, pictures, promises, and power of things to come, because sometimes living the day-to-day life can lead to drudgery, and we get delirious with our everyday challenges, our everyday drama. But there is a blessed hope. There is a bright future for all of us who are in Christ Jesus. This chapter is the most dramatic chapter in the Bible that I just read to you. Three big things and events are coming, and we will all see them. All of us. First, the finality and the fall of Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, resulting in the great rejoicing seen in the first part of Revelation 19. Babylon is the epic center of the wicked world system and culture. It is where the Antichrist will have his headquarters located. Now, there's debate on where this city of Babylon, but it's basically symbolic or of the iconic historic Babylon when they built the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. They tried to build a Babel to heaven to be like God. It was the symbol or icon of self-worship, pride, arrogance, and independence from God and his authority. It then transformed into the Babylonian Empire under the book of Daniel, when the Israelis, the nations of Israel, and the tribes of Israel were gone into Babylonian captivity. During that era, it will be reborn under the time and season of the Antichrist. Antichrist means anti-Jesus, also anti-Jew and anti-Christian. If we don't realize it, that there is a force that's at work now to take Jesus out of our life, our language, and our lifestyle. It's called the spirit of Antichrist. And so this Babylonian empire, this big Babylonian influence that will be headed up by the what we call the satanic trinity, the dragon, the devil, the beast, the false prophet, and the false prophet. He'll be a false imitation religious figure. Just going to tell people to worship idols instead of worship the one, Jesus Christ. So we have to be cognizant of that. Then we see, secondly, the triumphal return of Christ, where there'll be a triumphant entourage of the redeemed saints in heaven's procession with the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. He comes to make war. And said, Jesus is not coming back to make peace. He's coming back to make war. Some people say, well, we're going to be at war. Yes, we are at some point in time. The biggest war in history will happen when Jesus comes back. But it's a war that we don't have to fight, but we win it. Because Jesus, our Lord, is going to destroy the armies of the Antichrist in one day in the Valley of Megiddo, in the place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon, called the Battle of Armageddon. It's going to be a one-day war in that valley, and Jesus is going to wipe them out with the spirit of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. We can call it a nuclear meltdown. He's going to melt them all down because of his word coming out of his mouth. The Bible says the blood will rise to the horse's bridle. Now, the horse's bridle is 6 feet. I'm 6 feet tall, so you can imagine a valley 6 feet full of blood of the armies of God, enemies of God. The enemies of God will be obliterated just like that. Because Jesus is coming back. Everybody say, Jesus is coming back. That's the third biggest thing. One-day war. Not even a full day, not even a half a day. They're going to say, here comes Jesus. And Jesus is going to say, we're going to be saying, go get him, Jesus. And we're going to be riding on our white horse. I got mine picked out. I got mine imagined already. So I'm going to be on the white horse. You're going to be on a white horse. You're going to be on a white horse. You're going to be on a white horse. Come on now. And we're going to be riding on our robes. And we're going to say, go, Jesus. Go, Jesus. Go. Go, Jesus. And he's going to speak and take over this earth. This earth is under earth, curse, corrupt system. Authored by the god of this world, small g, he's called Satan. If you don't realize it or not, we're at war with the enemy of our soul. He's trying to take as many people down, and down is hell with him. Because he's already doomed there. In this chapter, we see the bride of Christ. We see the guest of honor at the marriage of the Lamb in the heavens return and his Jesus' second coming. Revelation 19 is the only chapter in the New Testament where the word Alleluia is found, and it appears four times. I emphasized it when I read it. The people in this chapter are distinct from any other beings in heaven. They are singing the songs that it mentions salvation. It incorporates the Old Testament saints, the church age saints, the tribulation age saints, and they will be joined together in one chorus proclaiming Alleluia. Everybody say Alleluia. You might as well get some practice. We're all going to be singing and saying. Now, the three parables about the second coming of Christ that Jesus gave to give us insight, concept, or understanding of who's he coming back with and who's he going to allow to reign with him when he comes. All right, guys, if you can put up the one about the Olivet Discourse on the screen, I'll refer to it, but I'm going to ask for some volunteers in a minute, and not right now, at this point. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Now, Jesus in Matthew 24 and 25 sat down on the Mount of Olives and gave a discourse and said, and these guys were asking him, his 12 disciples, he said, when are you coming back? What's going to be the sign of your coming? What's going to be the sign of the end of the age? When is everything going to wrap up? How many of you know this earth is about to change? Things are about to change. And so he's telling us signs all the way through Matthew 24 until the end parable, he gives us a story. He gives us three stories. The first story is about the parable of the faithful servant and the evil servant. Everybody say faithful and evil servant. Or you can say good or evil. Good means beneficial, useful, profitable, faithful, and wise. In other words, that we're going to be good, beneficial, useful, profitable, and wise to God and the things of God and to the kingdom of God. Evil means worthless. Bad, bad natured, troublesome, evil, wicked, excuse me, pernicious, destructive, baneful. Now let's look at, let's read it. It says here in Matthew 24, I'll start at verse 42. Watch therefore, if you know not the hour, your Lord is coming. Everybody say, Jesus is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known that the hour that the thief would come, he would have watched. Now, we said it last week. Watching means to be at high alert, to be highly aware, to be vigilant, to be on guard, not to be sleeping. It says the hour would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now he says, goes on to give us this story. Who is then the faithful and wise servant? Hopefully that's all of us. Whom his master made the ruler of his household to give him food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, shall find so doing. Everybody say, it's what we do. Everybody say this with me. What we do in this life that matters for me in the next life. Now, let's keep reading. He says, fine, so doing. Verse 47. Assuredly, I say unto you, he will make him ruler of all of his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master's delaying is coming. He said, Lord ain't coming back. They're trying to think 20 years from now, 50 years from now. He ain't coming back. And begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. And the master of that servant will come in a day when he's not looking for him, and an hour he was not aware of him, because he wasn't watching, and cut him in two and appoint him his portion to the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We pray that's not nobody. Now, I want you to get this concept if you're taking notes about the good and evil servant. Number one is the created concept. None of us are breathing air or exist in this world, in this life, for the fun of it. Because God never creates anything for the fun of it. Everyone has a purpose. Our main created purpose, you may have said, well, my parents created me. No, they procreated you. But your real spirit belongs to God. Your parents couldn't give you a spirit. Only God gives you a spirit. He gives you the eternal part. Your parents give you a body. God created you, but your parents procreated you and put you in an earth suit. Are you listening to me? So you were created, number one, to serve God. Number two, you were called to serve God. And number three, you are commanded to serve God. Until you get that straight, life won't make any sense to you. You'll live in perpetual pain and live with the results of irresponsibility in your relationships and your responsibilities of life. That means we're supposed to be serving God. Remember, Joshua stood up. We just read through Joshua, if you're with us in the Bible reading. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, and that needs to be your anthem across your door. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When Satan tried to get Jesus in the wilderness to bow down and worship him, he said, I'm going to give you everything you want, fame, fortune, finances, following all over the, which a lot of people try to do, right? They want finances, they want fame, and they want followers. Because it's idolatry. It's all about them. And Satan told Satan told Jesus, he said, I'll give you all of that if you just bow down and worship me. And Jesus turned around and said, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, because it is written, thou shalt not worship, you shall worship the Lord thy God only, and him only shall you serve. Him only shall you serve. Him only shall you serve. But in our society today, in our culture today, people are self-serving. They're self-centered. They're selfish. Listen to me. What you do in time and on time in this life for others and for God will matter big time for you in the next life. Who are you serving? What are you serving? So you got evil servants. Evil just simply means this, ladies and gentlemen. Evil is anyone or anything that takes you away from your God-intended purpose and plan and priorities in life. So if anyone or anything takes you away from serving God, living for God, loving on God, loving people, giving to God, it's evil. Evil is anything or anyone that takes you away from understanding that you've been created to serve God. I've been called to serve God. I've been commanded to serve God. And we say everybody has four basic areas of service. Everybody say four areas. You serve God with your time, your talent, your treasure, that means your material and monetary possessions, and your testimony. That means the stories you tell, the things you say, the things you talk about. Because most people's favorite subject is who? The three favorite people. Me, myself, and I. You could just spend 3 minutes with a person, and you can tell what's in their heart. Because they talk about themselves. They talk about what I'm going through. They talk about what's happening in my life. Let me tell you what I'm dealing with. Anything or anyone that takes you away from your God-intended purpose, plan, or priorities is evil. Everybody say it with me. I'm commanded to serve God. Everybody say, I'm called to serve God. I'm created to serve God. What am I here on earth for? To serve God. Let's go to the next parable. Matthew 25. Praise God. Y'all see this? Jesus was telling them all these parables. And he said, I'm telling you everything from now, when I leave the first time after he was raised from dead, all the way till when I'm reigning and I come back. You don't need no fortune teller to tell you what's going to happen. Jesus just told you what's going to happen. You definitely don't need, I'm not against all these stations, but all these Fox and CNN and CBS. They're going to tell you what they want you to know about what's happening. They don't tell you the full thing. Now, I'm not against them, but a lot of times you don't get the real news or the complete news. And people got their face on the TV or in their phone when Jesus has already told us, get ready. I'm coming back. Get ready. I'm coming soon. Watch. Be alert. Be highly aware because I'm coming back. I'm not coming back as a lamb to be slain. I'm coming back as a lion to rule and reign. Hallelujah. All right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. It says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and five were foolish. Then those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took the oil in their vessels with their lamps. So he's telling us different types of people. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, everybody say at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." And then those virgins trimmed their lamps. Then all the virgins trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, said, "No, lest we should not be enough for us and you. But go rather into those and sell who sell and buy for yourselves." Everybody say, you got to get your own oil. Now look at somebody next to you and say, you got to get your own oil, brother or sister. You got to get your own oil. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went to meet him in the wedding, and his door was shut. Afterwards, the virgin and the other virgins came and saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But they answered and said, "Assuredly, I say unto you, I do not know you." He says, watch. Everybody say, watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. You got to get in the picture. We got to get ready. Now, listen to me. The time to get ready and be ready are different. I'll say it this way. The time to be ready is not the same time to get ready. Because the foolish virgins were not ready. Why? They had no oil. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit's influence and impact in your life. See, you're going to live by the flesh or you're going to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. The light or the lamp, the lamp is the light of the truth of the word and the truth that's in Jesus. So you got to have the word in you, and you got to have the truth in you. The person of Jesus Christ, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Come on now. Nobody comes to the Father but by him. That means your life needs to be centered around, wrapped up, tied up, tangled up about Jesus and in Jesus. He's the embodiment of truth. There's no other way to God except through Jesus. So I got replicas of what they carried back then. All right, John, you want to help me? You're right there. And Donnie's going to help me too. He's my good helper. All right. So one represents the foolish versions. We'll give this one to John first. And you're going to pass it around for everybody to see it, okay? They can kind of look at it. Now, this is one that has no oil in it. You can walk around, John, and sort of show everybody. Now, Donnie's going to take this one around, and don't waste it, Donnie, because it's got oil in it. Now, typically what they used back then was olive oil. Everybody say olive oil. So olive oil. You got to remember, they didn't have flashlight technology back then. They carried around a little flask deal container in their hand, filled it up with oil, and then that oil caused the wick. You can pass around. You can let them handle it, look at it, read it. Thank you, John. And then it would light up. You ran out of oil. You ran out of light. Now, what did this represent? This represent what I call your work, your words, your walk or your manner of lifestyle, your witness, and your worship. Everybody say your work, your words. See, because some people's words aren't up. They're not talking heaven, they're talking hell. They're not talking good, they're talking evil. And then your works, What of God or of the devil? Some people testify more about what the devil's doing than what the Lord's doing. What is that doing? That's taking out the oil and putting out the light. Hallelujah. And then the next thing is your walk. Everybody say your walk. Am I living for God or am I living just for my natural self? Am I living just to make my retirement and get my nest egg going or get my life complete the way I want it under my own control and command, or am I under the Lord's command and control? Am I living every day deciding and dictating what I do instead of letting the Lord and the Holy Spirit direct me and guide me and dictate what I do? How am I walking? How am I living? How's my lifestyle? And then what about my worship? Because who you're serving is who you're worshiping. Some people can go in their closet and find out, I've been worshiping this. Some people pull up their bank account and look at their bank balance and say, I've been worshiping this. Who you been serving? Because who you worship is who you serve. And then your witness. Am I witnessing the Holy Spirit and Jesus on the inside, the light of the world? Is my light shining and reflecting him, or is my light shining and reflecting me? All right, Donnie, you can take this one around. We got the oil in it. Thank you, Donnie. You're doing a good job. Hold it. All right. Carry it around for people to look at it. You can walk. Thank you, John. You can put yours on the table. Everybody give John a hand. Come on, John. Come on, John. Our great little godson here. Godson and grandson. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep going, Donnie. Show it around. If anybody wants to hold it, let them hold it. Let them hold it. So everybody say this. I got a choice to be foolish or wise. Wise means I'm going to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means to be filled with the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to be responsive to and controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit gets to tell me what to do. If Jesus is not, he's representing Jesus in your heart and in your life. And if Jesus is not Lord, Lord just simply means master. It means owner. It means controller. It means one who tells you what to do. Praise God. So if Jesus can't tell you what to do, who can tell you what to do? Are you in charge of yourself? Are you grown, so grown that you call the own shots in your own life? Or does Jesus get to be Lord? Does Jesus get to tell me what to do? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Donnie. Appreciate you. All right, here you go. Here you go, Donnie. Let's give Donnie a hand. There's more. Go sit down. Sit down for a minute. We're going to do the next one. You're going to help me with the next one. All right. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So I want you to think about that for a moment. Am I being foolish or am I being wise? The two things that the foolish versions didn't have, they didn't have light and they didn't have oil. Some people just get up and just start burning and churning every day, blowing and going. Not once checking in with the Holy Spirit. Not once saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do today? I'm under your command, Lord. I'm under your control. Or say, Lord, I'm yours to command and control. That's how you stay ready. That's how you get ready. You daily die to yourself. Take up your cross and say, Lord, what's the cross I got to carry today? Who do you have me to witness today? Because I have to share Christ and show Christ to the world around me. You know, the sad statistic is only 1.5 times a Christian shares their faith in a whole year. On average. You don't witness. That's what we are created and called to be. The Holy Spirit's purpose in your life is to be a witness for Jesus. Now, the last parable, I'm going to use Gabriella and Donnie. Come on, Miss Gabby. Let's give Gabby a hand. Doesn't she look so pretty and white? All right. So the parable of talents. All right. So you want to hold that for me? All right, Donnie, you grab the one talent. So there was a one-talent guy, small bag. You can give that to John. Give that to John right there behind you. One talent. And then if you both can go back, there's a two-talent, two talents. You give that to somebody. Give that to your friends. Yeah. There you go, right there. And then the five talent had a lot. That's chocolate, okay? So you can give that. Give it to somebody. Just give it to somebody. Pick somebody. You pick somebody. So this is the other idea. Whatever God gives you, you can go sit down. You can go sit down. He allows you to increase it. Because when the Lord comes back, just like we have to all deal with taxes, some of us have to deal with accountants, you got to give account. What did you do with Jesus? Were you foolish or wise? And then the next thing is, what did you do with what I gave you and told you to do? So a talent represents, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew context of things, it was a weight of gold that was worth about, one talent was worth about 20 years' wages. 20 years' wages. And the amount would be about $52,000 a year for 20 years. That means you're above what we would call the national average. God didn't call any of us in this room, even though you got one talent, to be average. That means when the Lord comes back, when he comes to take you with him, you have something to show why I was on the earth for 50 years, for 40 years, for 60 years, for 70 years. Lord, you gave me this. Look at what I've got. So the five-talent guy came back with five more. The ten-talent guy, he came back with ten talents. He called him, well done. You were supposed to increase. Thou good and faithful servant. Second-talent guy, two-talent guy, came back with two more. Got the same commendation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. The one talent guy, however, got told he buried his talent in his earth. And he called him wicked and lazy. And he called him unprofitable. Amen. So are you preparing and are you profiting for the Lord? Praise God. Because if we live in fear like the one talent guy and we only use our talent on ourselves, to pay our bills, to do our things, to take care of our own personal responsibilities, and never do contribute anything to the advancement of his kingdom and his gospel in his church, then we'd be like the one talent person. You're supposed to produce fruit. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. All right, Miss Gabby. We have something for you. I didn't forget about you, Gabby. Give her a hand. Give her a hand for helping me. And Donnie, you get extra too, so you helped me twice. There we go. No, no, not all of it. Did you see he's trying to take all of the money? Freely give, freely receive. Okay. You'll probably get it anyway, somehow, somewhere. And then we have this for my helpers. Donnie. Okay, get your chocolate. Get your chocolate. Gabby. And John. Come on, let's give him another hand. It's always good to see the kids involved. We like to keep them engaged and get them encouraged. And, of course, they need school supplies, so that money goes to help them, whatever they want. Praise God for that end. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's go back to triumphal return of Christ as we close. Get ready to close. Revelation 19, 11 through 16 again. It says, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it was called faithful and true, and the righteous he judged and makes war. His eyes were like the flames of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew about himself, and he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed with fine linen, white and clean, followed him on a white horse. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he should strike the nations, and he himself shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he shall, himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everybody say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the twelve characteristics of, or descriptions of Jesus' return that I want you to make note of. Now you got some blanks there where you can put in the they all start with C. So just get your mind ready for writing a C-letter word. So first is code, his secret name. Second, his command, rod of iron. Jesus is coming to rule back. You're not going to have a vote. You're not going to have a debate. There's not going to be a democracy. It's going to be a theocracy. That means what Jesus says goes, what Jesus says we do. It's a good time to practice that now. Lord, what you want me to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm yours to command. We ought to practice willing obedience today. You know, some people sit and gotten so, I guess in a sense, they can get up whenever they want, they can do whatever they want, they can go wherever they want, they can watch whatever they want. You got to be careful about that. You got to be cautious about that when you're too independent and you're too in control of everything. Because God can't use you. Because you've never given God the calendar or the clock. When you control the calendar and the clock, God doesn't control the calendar and the clock. So his command, his conquest, the winepress of God, his celebration, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we're going to rejoice that he's King of Kings and Lord of all lords. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. His confirmation, called the Word of God. He's the Word made flesh. Praise God. His commission, he judges and makes war. He's not coming back to hold a jury and give people an investigation. He's coming back to judge. Remember, he's coming back to capture the beast and the false prophet and capture them alive and throw them into the lake of fire. Alive. I mean, that's better than a DC or a Marvel movie. Now, notice this. In this chapter, the first mention of the word lake of fire is mentioned. I'll get to that in a minute. It says his communication. That means his sword of his mouth, his clarity, his eyes like flames of fire, his character, faithful and true, his charge, he's coming back on a white horse, and so are we. His coronation, he's going to be wearing many crowns. We're going to be talking about the crowns next Sunday. And his clothing, his robe dipped in blood. This name on Christ's robe indicating that he will be all above everything, natural and supernatural. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now let's see where the enemies of God are going to end up. If you can show that last picture. Guys, there it is. Now, a lot of people don't like to talk about it, but Jesus talked about it more than any other preacher in the Bible. He talked about hell a lot. And we often say this, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Why am I saying Jesus is coming back soon? You got to get ready for him. And part of us getting ready is helping other people get ready to meet Jesus. It's sad but true. Many people are too busy and too bothered to share their faith with anybody else or to invite anyone else to church or to introduce anyone else to Christ. Because we always said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And you'll get so busy, wrapped up, tied up in your own world, in your own worries, in your own woes, that you forget about Jesus. They say every 90 seconds someone's going to hell. Now there's five compartments. We see hell is like a prison. It's like the holding cell to your final sentencings. Who goes to hell? Some people say, well, the people that commit adultery, the people that sin. No, you don't go to hell for all what you did. You go for hell for who you did not receive and believe. You go to hell for not receiving and believing in Jesus. People who reject Jesus and don't receive Jesus go there. Now that's not the final place, because hell is bad enough. It's the underworld. Instead of going up, they go down. And it says that the beast and the false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire alive. And it says it's they will be alive. So the lake of fire, they will be bodily. They will have their body. They will be burning, and they will be conscious of it and painful because of it continuously. Now, the word fire and brimstone, this means sulfur. That means if you ever understand sulfur fires are almost like self-fueling. They keep burning. They keep going. And it's a lake, so it's going to be like a pool of fire they dropped in. It says Satan's going to be dropped in there after 1,000 years and being in prison in the bottomless pit. And then he will come out and be thrown in there as well, alive. And then death and hell will be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, do I say all that to make you feel afraid or horrified? No. We should be glorified. We should glorify God and say, thank God I'm saved. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God I have one more day to tell people about his love. One more day to tell people about his life. One more week or one more month to share Jesus with my friends and my family members that don't know him. We all have a decision to make every day. Were we going to be ready, stay ready, and get ready to meet Jesus, or are we going to just do our own thing? Would you stand with me, please? Y'all get something out of this today.